Good morning, everyone, and welcome. I'll say our call to worship very shortly, but first of all, as I mentioned last Sunday, John was doing his marathon today at the Gold Coast Marathon. All going well, he should still be running, hopefully, and will do, and probably will be so for another couple of hours yet, all going well. I think he said possibly about 5 hours, something like that. So I thought just as we gathered, that we'll actually just say a prayer for him and for Sue down there. It's his first marathon, and it's just a great thing to be able to step up to the start line, really. No, have no idea how that's gone. Also, as you're coming in, you're listening to some music by Guttermo. More about that in a little while. Lord God, as we gather here, we're conscious of John and Sue down the Gold Coast and some of his other team. We have no idea how he's going down there, Lord, but we simply just want to pause and pray for him that you'll give him the strength that he needs at this time and just help him in the decisions that he faces about his participation in the marathon there and just give him the strength and the reassurance of the team around him, but also in the moments that you are indeed with him as you are with us in all that we do and certainly as we gather here in the name of Christ. Amen. Just while that's happening as well, just to acknowledge the efforts that have been going on for Refresh this week for the 15th birthday celebrations and the Refresh Shop. And we'll hear a little bit more about that shortly as well. But there's been some huge efforts put in this week by a whole bunch of people to do some things there. As I said, more about that shortly. From Lamentations chapter 3. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, gone is my glory and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so we worship God, the Eternal One, the Creator of all that is, that was, and will be. We wait quietly, expectantly, seeking hope and peace and rest in the stillness. As we sing, I invite you to stand.
Come now before
Let us pray. Lord our God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for your presence that does move amongst us, whether that be here as we gather now or as we attend to a variety of things during the week. Help us to continue to be open to your Spirit's leading and guiding. Lord, as we ponder the words of that song, maybe our mind turns to the prophet Ezekiel who fled into the wilderness, concerned, thinking that he was utterly alone, weren't in the earthquake, the fire, the wind, but in a still small voice, in quietness, in rest. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. And Lord, often in those moments of quietness and stillness, we recognize how we fall short of what you ask of us. And we turn our minds to this past week, these past days. We bring to mind, Lord, those things that we regret, that we are sorry for, in regards to our relationship with you and our relationship with those around us. Please forgive us for anything that we have said or done or thought that have been far from your ways. And also for those things that have been good and honourable that we have not done, that you have called us to do, but we have left by the roadside. We are thankful, Lord, for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus and the freedom that this gives us to live life in the service of Christ, to know that we are renewed, that we are forgiven, that you pick us up and dust us off and set us on the new way once again. And we are thankful as we pray in and through the name of Christ. Amen. The scriptures assure us that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God set our sins from us. And as a father has compassion on his children, so is the Lord merciful towards those who respect him, who are in awe of this God. And so the good news is that through the work of Christ for us, we are forgiven and we are able to say, thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite you to share a word of peace with those nearby.
Good morning, everyone, on this lovely day. This week, you'll see the prayer points there. The Grief and Loss Support Group is meeting on Thursday afternoons now, and Artburst is continuing to be planned, so don't forget to pot up your pot plants too ahead of that. It's not long now. And then there's the Open Doors. This month you can join Open Doors in one with them, a special time of praying for Christian captives worldwide. Particularly they're asking for to pray for Nigeria, and that was our World Day of Prayer country. So we've heard those of us who were at the service have heard quite a bit about Nigeria, so please pray for them, where kidnappings and violence is becoming more common. It was already bad, and Christians are targeted specifically because of their faith. Then we get on to notices. So coffee and chat with Reverend David. He'll be there at 10 a.m. at one table, except for Wednesday the 15th of July. Courtney's on holidays again this week, as you probably might know. The men's lunch is this Friday, 10:15 at one table. So please RSVP to Ewan Perry. What did I say? Oh, 12:15, it's lunch. 12:15. So please let Ewan know if you'd like to go. And Women's Fellowship, that's on Monday the 13th, the following Monday week. That's at one table again this time, and that is at 12:30 p.m. So please let Jan or I know if you'd like to come to the Women's Fellowship lunch. Thank you.
Thanks, Rosemary. I mentioned at the start that we had that Dawn brought along some music by Guillermont, and that was playing beautiful voice. And unfortunately, he died a number of years ago. Extraordinary voice. That is played to today is the start of NAIDOC week. Dawn's going to share a story that was passed to her a little while ago. It's a really interesting story about the connection between Christian faith. And anyway, the story tells itself, so thanks, Dawn.
Some of you may have heard this before. I think I've done it once before. It's a story from Uncle Willie McKenzie, and it was told to Andrew's mother and children at an opal camp where there were black and white children back in the 60s. And Uncle Willie, or Gibao, which was his tribal name, died in 1967. He was then, people worked out, about 100 years old, and he'd been brought up in the tribe and didn't see a white person till he was 15. So his story from his uncle and his uncle's uncle must go back a long way. He was dearly loved and respected, and he always called Andrew's mum daughter, which reminds me of the story that we heard with David a while ago. This is one story that he told the children's camps that was quite different. It wasn't a traditional story. And I'll read it as he said it. I was going through the bush one day, years ago when I was a very young man. I had become a Christian and carried a Bible in my swag. I made a fire at nightfall. Then through the bush, attracted by my fire, came my old uncle. It was wonderful to meet in this way, and after a time he said to me, "What is that book you have there?" "It's called a Bible," I replied. "They say it tells about God, and I have become a Christian." The old man sat and thought, and then he said, "Now I'll tell you something that was told to me by my uncle when I was a young fellow like you. And if this is in that book of yours, then I'll become a Christian like you." We settled down, and after another long pause, he began. "We had had a great corroboree," my uncle said, "and people had come from hundreds of miles around. Day by day, the women went out with their baskets to gather roots, fruit, lizards, honey, and things like that. And the men went out for kangaroo, wallaby, or emus to bring back. Of course, sometimes they came back with little or nothing. But that didn't matter too much, as the women were always sure of collecting enough food for us all. The days went by, and gradually the women collected less and less, and the men more frequently came back with nothing, till the day came when we were all ate out. But what to do? Many people had so far to go to get back to their own country, and the country for far and wide had been searched out. One night there was nothing to eat, and the children went to sleep crying, and the women sat in silent groups not knowing what to do, and the men were very serious. As they sat there in hunger and sadness, they suddenly noticed that away on the salt flats there was a man sitting. Now, I should have told you at the outset that Aboriginal people who were not of the group would never be so rude as to walk straight up to the campfires. They would always sit at a distance for hours or days if necessary until someone was sent to fetch them. And so it was. After observing him for a while, they sent someone to invite him to the camp. He came, and the people looked at him and were silent. It seemed as if a radiance was shed all about him and around him. They stammered as they began to ask the routine questions. Who do you belong to? The man smiled. I will not tell you who I belong to, but all of you belong to me. I heard your children crying, and I saw the grief of the mothers and the sadness of the fathers, so I have come to help you. Now, what do you do when you want to call up the game? We strike on the trees, they still stammered, and cry, wah, wah, wah. Then do that, he invited. Automatically, they did so, and cries of wah, wah, wah rang out and wakened the children. But they didn't cry, because all of a sudden there was game racing through the trees. The women seized their baskets and fetched down honey from the trees and caught big lizards as they started up at their feet. Fires were lit and holes were dug for cooking the big game, and vegetables and lizards were thrown into the fire to keep them going whilst the others cooked in the ground. They turned to invite their friend to join them, but he was not there. The next day the corroboree broke up amid much laughter and promises to meet at the next great corroboree, and with plenty of food to sustain them, the visitors made tracks. As they left, they put the tips of their boomerangs in the fire, then threw them high in the air, and down they came again like shooting stars. Now, said my uncle to me, is that story in your book? But had come across the story of the feeding of the 5,000. His old uncle was dead. But it's the 50th anniversary of NAIDOC Week this time.
Thanks, Dawn. And it's a good week to be in prayer for our nation of Australia in all kinds of ways. And just as Dawn has shared that, want to just say a prayer for Dawn and Andrew this week. Now, it's still your last Sunday for a little while. So Dawn and Andrew will be in at home, but with the visit of their family from down south, they just need to isolate themselves for that to happen with some of the immunity things for some of their family. So they'll be at home, but they won't be here just because they'll need to be isolating. So I want to say a prayer for you both and for your family today. Okay. Lord our God, we pray for Andrew and Dawn and for their family, and especially over this next month and even this next day or two where there is ongoing preparations that they have, and a couple of little added complications over the last 24 hours or so. I pray for them that these next couple of days may go smoothly and things may come together well, and certainly for family in Sydney as they prepare to arrive into Brisbane, that all may go well, that there may be a sense of your calmness for them, and that this indeed may be a time of, as they share in a family time together, which does not happen very often for them, that they may be very conscious of your presence. Thank you for this act of love and care that Andrew and Dawn offering to their family, and may you bless them in the midst of that, in the name of Christ. Amen. So Andrew and Dawn will be very mindful of you over this next month. Okay. Also, a couple of other things to mention. Gwenda, we're conscious of your brother. I believe your brother remains very ill. Rob? I think that is. And I might just say a prayer for him very shortly as well. As you mentioned, the men's lunch, it wasn't in the news sheet. I emailed out an updated version of that where I did include that. And I'll pause to say a prayer for Gwenda's brother, Rob. And then just if anyone would like to say anything about events of Refresh this week, we'll just have a moment or two to say something about that, and then we'll continue on. Lord, as we continue in prayer, and we're very conscious of a number of people this morning, but we continue our prayers for Rob, who is very unwell. And we thank you, Lord, for the care and support that has come to him and surrounded him over these recent times. May he be very conscious of that ongoing support of family and friends, but indeed that there may be these very strong glimpses of your love and care and support to him. Pray for Gwenda and Apichat and the rest of the family as well. At this time, pray for the medical team that continue to attend to him, that you'll give them wisdom and insight for his well-being. As we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Gwenda. As I mentioned, been a pretty big week for Refresh this week, and if you've still got breath in your body, maybe, to say that. You want to say anything, Jenny? Here we go. Hang on. Hold it. No, you don't need to get up.
I would like to thank everyone. I cannot thank them enough. I did very little work. I did a lot of praying and a lot of worrying and sleepless nights, but I didn't do all the work that the other people did, especially Wendy, Rob, David, all my lovely volunteers, Merle, who is not a member of this church, took all those curtains down and washed them. Then she took the next lot down. There she's washing those and bringing them back today. And then she said, would you like those back curtains washed? And I said, I'm sure we would. So she's taken those down and she's washing those and bringing them back after church. So it's just wonderful to have people like that in our community. And my volunteers, many of them don't come to our church, but they were here. It was just marvellous. And it was a wonderful day, Friday. Lots of, a joyous feeling amongst everyone. So thank you, everyone. And I hope everyone will support Refreshed by buying lots of stuff. So now it's beautifully displayed. I think it's a big improvement. But you're welcome to go and have a look later.
Yes, if you haven't had a look, then please do so. And still a few tweaks to do yet, just to finish some things off. But Brenda and Rob, thank you for your efforts in painting the wall. When that was there, it became apparent that that needed a coat of paint. So Brenda and Rob just stepped up and away they went. Just fantastic. New carpet down there after the painting happened. That was good. So new carpet that came in and laid that, and just a great effort by everyone there. So thank you so much. Any other comment just before we continue on? The Summon Reflections, yes, that's right, which is available this morning. Thank you again, Dawn, for your little team there of getting that together as well. So I'm sure a number of you have been already reading through Reflections. Thank you, everyone. Okay. We stand to sing Jesus Shall Reign Wherever, and then our gospel reading.
Jesus. The reading is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 29, the Good News Translation. Now, to what can I compare the people of this day? They are like children sitting in the marketplace. One group shouts to the other, "We played wedding music for you, but you wouldn't dance. We sang funeral songs, but you wouldn't cry." When John came, he fasted and drank no wine, and everyone said, "He has a demon in him." When the Son of Man came, he ate and drank, and everyone said, "Look at this man, he is a glutton and wine drinker, a friend of tax collectors and other outcasts." God's wisdom, however, is shown to be true by its results. The unbelieving towns. The people in the towns where Jesus had performed most of his miracles did not turn from their sins, so he reproached those towns. "How terrible it will be for you, Chorazin. How terrible for you too, Bethsaida. If the miracles were performed If the miracles which were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, the people there would have long ago put on sackcloth and sprinkled ashes on themselves to show that they had turned from their sins. I assure you that on the judgment day, God will show more mercy to the people of Tyre and Sidon than to you. And as for you, Capernaum, did you want to lift yourself up to heaven? You'll be thrown down to hell. If the miracles which were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would still be in existence today. You can be sure that on the judgment day, Sodom, than to you. Come to me and rest. At that time, Jesus said, "Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank you because you have shown to the unlearned what you have hidden from the wise and learned. Yes, Father, this was how you were pleased to have it happen. My Father has given me all things. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light." My God, may God bless that reading. Thank you.
Lord, may the words of my mouth, meditation of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Given the conclusion last Sunday of the series on Grace Awakened and people that Jesus encountered along the way, over the next few weeks, I'll look at one of the readings from the lectionary, this set Bible readings that are used over a three-year cycle. And we're probably relieved after hearing that passage that the last few verses was Jesus saying, "Come to me and rest." But the other bits remind us that Jesus said some really tough things at times to people. You know, and it was pretty serious stuff that he was saying there. And this passage concludes with these verses that I want to focus on this morning. Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In our world today, there is an overabundance of ways to find diversion, to be distracted in life. But the question remains there, where do we truly find rest? Rest for our human spirit. It's way back in the 4th century that Saint Augustine talked of us being restless until we find our rest in God. There's this deep, deep hunger in the human soul for resolution of our doubts, our conflicts, for a relief from the weight of questions that just remain unanswered at times, and for a lifting from our shoulders of the burden of promises and longings that are unfulfilled. For some, it's a desire to find rest from the burdens that life itself brings, a rest from the weight of trying to live in a good way, an ethical way, holding to certain values in a world where, at its core, people live values so different to what we hold to. So where do we find rest? Rest for a restless soul. Many people of varying ages and circumstances self asking, even after having achieved some goal, is this all there is? Is this as good as it gets? There has to be something more, surely. This week I read a post on Facebook by Stephanie Rice. Now, many of you would know of Stephanie Rice from her swimming days. Achieved amazing things. Indeed, some of you might even know her, as I think she's a Brisbane girl, I think. You may have come across her, I'm not sure. But she posted this on her Facebook page, and when I read this, I was just so moved by it, really. Stephanie Rice became a Christian some years ago, not that long ago, but some years ago. And this is what she posted earlier this week with, and she had two photos of herself, one from about 5 years ago and one from just the other day. And just bear with me, I want to read all of what she wrote. There really is nothing that compares to the glow up that comes from a relationship with Jesus, she writes. My gosh, when I look at that before picture, I'm taken back to that time 3 or 4 years ago when I was desperately searching to find peace, stability, and the purpose of my life. There was just this overwhelming sense I needed to work harder to find it, to read more books, attend more conferences, meditate more, visualize more, like everything depended on me. I'd have these short-term wins, but then something outside my control would always come in the way and derail the progress I'd made. It felt like I'd been putting in so much oddity, but I couldn't really see the progress. It was so frustrating, and I was completely exhausted. I remember feeling pretty hopeless. I'd tried all these methods, routines, and different practices for achieving success and finding your purpose, and still feeling so behind and under so much spiritual weight, it felt like no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get ahead. I think I got so run down spiritually and emotionally that I finally was open to trying something completely new and honestly quite foreign. I went to church with my sister, who was a Christian, and decided to open my heart to Jesus. If I'm honest, I had no idea if this was the answer or if it would help. I just knew for sure what I was doing wasn't working, and I was willing to try anything to feel hopeful again. It's been three years now since that decision to follow Jesus, and my gosh, has life changed, and all for the better. There are so many stories I can and will share in time about the past 3 years and how transformational and healing they have been. I've finally found that inner peace, stability, hope, encouragement, purpose, and contentment that I was always looking for, just in all the wrong places. I pray that more people would be open to Jesus, because I just know he would heal your heart in ways you don't even know are possible. And it would free you to dream and hope again, believing that anything is possible, because with him, it really is. From Stephanie Rice. Man, now I could simply end the sermon right there and confidently know that the reality of these verses in Matthew 11 had been explained and that the gospel had been preached. I could happily just stop right there having read that. But there's a few other things that I want to say. But, you know, I got so much encouragement from reading that. That's just fantastic. Because those of us who follow Australian sport, and particularly swimming, we know what she has achieved, and a few other things that weren't quite so great for her. But she is now in a place with this relationship with Jesus where she is contented and at peace. We're offered so many options these days as a path to peace and contentment and rest. So many options, perhaps more than ever before in human history. And rather than giving us peace, comfort, rest, we so often become utterly lost in our search for it. There are some restless souls that spend their whole life going from one distraction to another without ultimately finding rest. So many of these options say we have the answers within ourselves, that we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, by our own shoelaces. And Stephanie Rice makes reference to that. The Apostle Paul knew all too well, however, that our very humanness, our human condition, leaves us unable to crawl out of the hole that we dig for ourselves. Paul writes this in Romans 7, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that's subject to these things, including death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, Paul points us to Jesus, and it's this same Jesus that we heard in Matthew 11 say, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus offers us rest, rest for our souls, rest at the core of our being. He offers us a place where we can lay down our burdens and satisfy the deepest longings of our human spirit. To those who come to him, Jesus offers the good news of God's ruling presence in all and through all, yet above all. As we've heard over the last 8 weeks, a kingdom of overflowing grace where we're called to turn from an old way to a new way of life, where sinners are recovered, rebels forgiven, lepers embraced, and where the lost find themselves truly at home. You know, also I think I'm greatly encouraged by a lot of athletes and sports people who publicly confessing faith, including just this last week again with the captain of the German soccer team, German football team, Felix Mietscher, who after Germany was eliminated from the World Cup, said, "Even in disappointment, I choose gratitude. God is good in every season, and all glory belongs to him." That's what we need to hear, folks. Along the way, that even, you know, for those who are driven so much, and, you know, the World Cup in football is that, but even here, here's Felix able to say, you know, it's really disappointing, but God is good. Secondly, Jesus talks of a yoke, and just a few thoughts about this before I finish. Jesus does speak of a yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he says. The yoke's not a common sight these days in country Australia. We might see some on bullock teams that make an appearance every now and then at the Ekka, or if we go up to the Jundarian woolshed, you know, we might see some yokes on bullocks there, or some other special occasion. This is what life was like in the old days, that sort of thing. And there's something of a contradiction, isn't there, in this image of which Jesus uses, where he talks about finding peace, but then he goes on and says, here, take my yoke upon you. Bit of a contradiction. Surely that's a burden. Surely that's not a freedom. That's a burden or a bondage, isn't it? The previous chapter, chapter 10, Jesus speaks of another paradox. He says, whoever loses his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Losing to find. It's a similar thing here, where there, it's a similar paradox where, as Jesus said, you lose your life for my sake, you find it. To take my yoke is freedom. There's no absolute freedom in this world where many temptations come dressed up in all kinds of ways and which speak with a voice that questions who we yoke to. And in trying to serve many masters, we become pulled in a dozen different directions all at one time. And again, that rest that we seek for is impossible. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. And this is the translation from the Greek word can really help us here. The Greek word that's translated easy is actually a word that means well-fitting. It's appropriate. It's suitable. It's a well-fitting thing. And William Barclay tells of how in the days of Jesus, ox yokes made of wood, and the ox was brought in and it was measured up for the yoke. And the yoke was then roughed out, and then the ox was brought back in to see how well it fitted. And if it wasn't quite fitting well, it would be worked on a little bit more. And it was carefully adjusted so that it would fit well and that it wouldn't irritate the neck or the shoulders of the ox. The yoke was tailor-made for this particular animal. That's the image that Jesus is using when he says, my yoke is easy. My yoke fits well. The life I give to you is to live is not a burden to irritate you or annoy you. The life I give you, the task I give you, is made to measure for you. What Jesus has for us is not to carry burdens that ultimately crush us. To be yoked in Jesus' team, as it were, is to be engaged in doing the things for which we were created, is to become fulfilled. When we willingly wear the yoke of Jesus, we are given the freedom to be ourselves at our deepest and truest level. The yoke of Jesus will place on us more freedom than anything else. Ultimately, these verses are yet another call to discipleship. In chapter 10, Jesus talks of the costliness of following him, losing your life to find it. Here in chapter 11, he says, learn from me. And we can know that he is gentle and humble in heart. You know, in years gone by, a young bullock or a horse learned how to pull a dray or carriage or wagon or whatever it was by being yoked to an older, mature animal who knew what it was to do that. That's how it learnt what it needed to do. It would learn from who it was yoked with, and in so doing, learnt what it needed to accomplish the task. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So come, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and Jesus will give you rest. May the peace of God go with you and before you. Amen. Our offering will be received as Jenny plays something. Thank you, Jenny. Lord God, we simply this morning say thank you for your extraordinary generosity to us in all that you have done for us in and through Christ. I pray for your blessing upon what we bring this day for the furthering of your kingdom. In his name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Oh God, as we meet together in prayer, please hear our prayers and the prayers of our friends who will listen to this service later on. Oh God, as we have sat in our comfortable homes this week, we have seen visions on our TV screens of destruction and terror. We have seen homes and businesses destroyed, lives lost, and families torn apart. We've seen the faces of people who can't believe this horror is really happening. They have the look of bewilderment, disbelief, and grief. Please, dear God, give comfort and hope to the people of Venezuela as they try to build their lives again. We thank God that we've also seen acts of bravery, hard work and love by the many volunteers helping to rescue so many missing people. We see them digging in rubble with their bare hands. Please, God, be with them all as they deal with the trauma of what they have witnessed. We continue to pray for peace in our world. So much of our world is at war, where lives and infrastructures are being destroyed. We think of the people in Ukraine, Middle East, Sudan, and the thousands of displaced people living in refugee camps, food or comfort. We pray now for families on school holidays, praying that they will enjoy time together and build family memories. We pray for families where home isn't a happy place. Send them help, support, comfort and love, and services to help ease their pain. We pray that all families will be kept safe as they travel or enjoy exciting experiences. We pray, dear God, for our church family. Some are bravely dealing with pain and other health issues that come with the aging process. Help us to be kind to each other, unjudgmental, and to understand each other's differences. Pray for the younger members of our congregation who are still working. May they feel satisfied in their work. They do, and make time for rest. We give thanks for our church members and other volunteers who have worked very hard to make our refreshed shop look bright and even more welcoming. Kenmore Uniting Church is blessed to have so many dedicated volunteers. Bless them all, dear God. We give thanks for the work of our minister, Reverend David. Keep him and his family safe and happy. We are thankful for church council, property committees, musicians, and all those who help to make Kenmore Uniting Church a good place to be. We ask as we leave church today, our week will be filled with care, good humour, and love for others. Amen.
We stand to sing. On the night before Jesus died, when darkness was beginning to fall, he had supper with his disciples in a room upstairs in Jerusalem. At this last supper, he took bread and wine, thanked God for them, and gave them to his friends, saying, "This is my body and blood given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." As the Lord Jesus took bread, I take this bread and this cup to be set apart for this special and holy use. And as Jesus gave thanks, let us give our thanks and praise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts, lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Loving God, you made this world marvelous for us to enjoy. You gave Jesus to be with us and to bring us back to you. You send your Spirit to make us one family in Christ. For these gifts of your love, we thank you and we join together, along with all and everything that has ever lived, to sing how great you are. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We thank you that you showed your love by sending your Son Jesus, who gave his life for us and rose again from death and lives to pray for us forever. We thank you that he has taken away all that separates us from you and has brought us together with you and each other. We thank you and we praise you. And we pray that you will send your Spirit on us and on these gifts, that we may know Christ's presence real and true, and be his faithful followers, showing your love for the world. We thank you and we praise you, and we share together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Saying, "This cup is the new promise that God has made in my blood. Each time you do this and drink from the cup, remember me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We share now, for all is prepared. Body of Christ, broken for us. Amen. Christ shed for us. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Father God, for this special meal shared in the Spirit with Jesus, your Son. Help us to follow you and to share your love and care to all we meet, even as in Jesus you have shown your love and care to us. Amen. Our final hymn this morning. We stand to sing. This week, Juana headed off on some holidays as well, and I forgot to pray for her during the service last week, but we did that after the service, just her and I just down here. Please remember her in your prayers as well as she goes on some travels. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you.